thrash in the game to the right. Now Ford motions to the left. Winston to throw. Fourth down. Winston under pressure. Scrambling. Pump fake. He's going to run. He jumps. Touchdown! Jameis Winston on fourth down!
Thank you to Browns Radio. In the snow, Jameis Winston just looked like he didn't have like anywhere to go. He's like, all right, I guess I'll rush it in.
Oh my God. And they had just dropped a touchdown, either the play before or the play for David Njoku had a wide open. So it looked like the Browns were browning it up and we're going to lose that game. What a play by Jameis.
And what a game.
And by the way, I actually was watching that game and I said, like, you talked about they pulled Russell Wilson for Justin Fields on a few plays. I thought, get Jameis out of there. Jameis is killing them. Put in DTR. Let him run on every play. Because he didn't look like he could throw in that snow.
They literally put DTR in for one play.
Yep.
And then they took him out. That was it.
I think it was a handoff, too. They didn't even do anything.
And then they took him out. It didn't make a lot of sense. But a lot of things in this game last night didn't make a lot of sense. And first and foremost, not so much that the Browns end up winning the game by a final score of 24-19. Just the idea that the Steelers really couldn't take advantage. I know the conditions were terrible, but they couldn't take advantage of multiple opportunities where the Browns seemed to be serving this win on a silver platter. They entered the fourth quarter down 12 points. They scored two touchdowns in about 2 minutes, the Steelers. And it was a fumble. It was a bad interception from Jameis Winston, which he's good for a couple of those. And then the Steelers just are so anemic on offense. They just cannot make it work.
Well, it was snowing, though. I'm not sure you can judge the normal anemic offense stuff. Like, it was really hard to throw the ball.
No, I get it. And throwing the ball actually was working to a degree for Russell Wilson. But I thought they had the right idea. They just couldn't execute when they brought Justin Fields in. To use him on short yardage in the bad weather. The dude played at Ohio State. He can play in this stuff. He can play in bad weather. And it just didn't work out the way I thought it was. But I love the concept, if that makes sense. I want them to keep going to Fields in some of these situations.
But, yeah, you keep saying that. But is that going to be enough to make the how could that be a difference maker? It feels like kind of like Taysom Hill with the Saints. Like, it's a nice weapon.
Well, look what the Saints did to the Browns last week.
Well, that's a good point. But is it a game changer for the Steelers? Like, again, it feels like more just like Mike Tomlin. Their offense is never, even with this deep ball from Russell Wilson to George Pickens, they're just not explosive.
Well, they don't have enough weapons, but they should have pulled the trigger on another wide receiver. They were in the mix for all of these wide receivers, and obviously none of them came to fruition.
But look at your coaching staff. You have Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith. I mean, you could have the greatest show on turf, Rams. I just don't think that they're ever going to want to be a wide-open offense. He wants to win close, ugly games.
Yeah, and you know what? The Chiefs are also winning close, ugly games at times, but obviously they've got a way bigger advantage at quarterback. But winning close, ugly games in the AFC North is not a bad strategy, by the way.
Well, it's gotten Mike Tomlin to 9-8 in 7 straight years. Is it a great strategy? Well, I don't know that you have proof of concept there. They won Super Bowls with a kind of a different formula. Well, they were defense first, but they had Big Ben. I just don't know if that is a good strategy. Yeah, you're going to beat the Ravens 19-13 twice during the regular season, but I just don't feel like we're seeing a playoff-ready Steelers team.
Listen, that's just life to me in the AFC North, because look at the Ravens offense. The Ravens offense is gangbusters, right? And they are awesome. And then what happens when they play the Steelers?
Every time, it's an
18-16 game. Yeah. That's just what it's going to be. You got to be able to win both, I guess.
It actually doesn't even matter. The Ravens just lose those two Steelers games, win all their other games, and play the Chiefs in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen. It feels like rinse, wash, repeat. We're seeing the same exact season as last season. It's going to be an AFC title game. I feel like it's going to be Kansas City, Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore again. Sorry,
well,
Meg.
That's okay. But let's pause on the Steelers for a second, because I'm saying that I think there could still be a Super Bowl contender and maybe there's a path here. Now, is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Nothing the Steelers do is easy. And they are getting into the tough part of their schedule right now, where they're going to play your Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to play the Chiefs, the Ravens again, the Browns again, the Bengals. They've got it all sitting here in front of them. I just think that there has to be, in my opinion, an upgrade in their red zone offense. And with the type of skill position players you have, I think that's attainable. That's what I'm holding on to. That's what I'm holding my hat on. With Russell Wilson or Fields, with Pickens, Freiermuth, your running game, there has to be a way to get in the end zone, and they have just not been able to
do it. But I don't understand. They have the 20th ranked yardage offense, so it's not like their offense They're not going up and down the field in any way.
I know, but it does seem like they can move the ball.
They can. They're 20th.
No, but I know, but you see with Russ, I think a lot of that skewed why they're 20th is because Justin Fields played the first six games.
Awesome. Yeah,
they were not good. With Russ, it's a different dynamic.
But you're like, look at their weapons. Then you name Pat Freiermuth in the running game. I'm sorry. It's like that running game is secretly super anemic at times. There are games where that just does not get off the ground. And
last night was one of them.
They're saying moo, not boo. But come on, Pat Freiermuth's your big red zone weapon?
Listen, he was at times was effective. I can't tell you that they have this Hall of Fame level skill position. I get that.
They have one play in their playbook. Russ drops back and throws a 40-yard lollipop to George Pickens, and he catches it. That has been their secret weapon. And in the playoffs, you're going to triple team George Pickens, and then that's all you got.
We'll see if they can get the run game going, and we'll see if they can figure out a better way to use Fields in a more effective way. And to be honest, last night was just, quite frankly, a lot of fun. For those of us who did not have a rooting interest in the game, this was great to watch. The snow was amazing. These are the kind of fun football games that we love to see. Just, you know, guys slip sliding, crowd, everyone just like there's snow accumulating on everyone's head. I mean, it was really, really fun. Al Michaels can't tell whether field goals are going through the uprights or not because the snow and the wind is so crazy.
What is that?
Dude, oh, Al Michaels was merciless, by the way, on the one Browns punt that went 12 yards. He's like,
one that almost got blocked.
He was so disgusted by that punt. This is what it sounded like.
Corey Bohorka is to send it down toward Calvin Austin. What is that? A flag is down. Whatever that was, did the wind move it as he dropped it?
I mean,
what
is
that?
It's snowing sideways.
That also, too, the offensive line completely disappeared. The guy had to hurry his kick because there were like six Browns on top of him. I thought that was going to be the Browns' touchdown. But that did set them up well. I can't believe that. I'm still actually in shock the Browns won that game. When
James
had that fumble, that I was like, oh, God, Browns, you're doing this again? But they toughed it out. All these Florida guys on Cleveland showing up.
And how about two touchdowns for Nick Chubb? I think it was the first rushing touchdown for Jameis Winston, they said, in like 3 years. And obviously he's been a backup. So it was just fun all the way. You can go and vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl. How would you describe the Steelers? Sneaky contenders or get them out of here? Get them out of here, taking a little bit of a bigger lead now, 57% to 43%. So there you go. We got a lot more cool NFL games coming up this weekend that we'll get to. But first, Mike is in Pearl River, New York, just north of New York City, wants to talk about the big Notre Dame Army game that's happening inside Yankee Stadium tomorrow. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Yes, it's Yankee Stadium, and we do still play college football games. And I know one thing. At one time, Notre Dame and Army or Army-Navy Yankee Stadium was the biggest thing on the planet. I'll be there tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium rooting for Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, my team. You know, I want to see them get in the playoff. I know they, and because it's my team, and just the way they've been playing, Notre Dame has got that reputation throughout football, and I think it's going to uphold this year. I like the quarterback. I like the young quarterback, Riley Leonard, and I think things are going to work out for us in Notre Dame. Go Buchanan, go Buchanan, go Buchanan, go Buchanan, go Buchanan, go Buchanan, go Pack, go, go Pack, go, go Pack, go, go Pack, go, go Pack, go.
Mike, leave for the game right now. Just start the tailgate. I love it.
Right?
Appreciate you, pal. The one thing is about I've been to a football game in Yankee Stadium. I don't love it. It feels very crammed in.
Yeah. I mean, this does have the Notre Dame Army matchup kind of feels like it might make it cooler despite, I don't know, this. I assume Army's in New York State. Notre Dame's a kind of a New York-y team. I kind of feel like this works in a way.
Why don't they put it at MetLife Stadium where the Giants and Jets play? Because that's where they put Notre Dame and Navy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it does sound like something kind of cool and vintage about this.
Yeah. I've been to a Notre Dame game at Yankee Stadium, and it just wasn't. I don't love it as a viewer experience, but I'm sure on TV it will probably look fine.
You know, it's kind of disappointing about this game. It's like Army's ranked. This finally, it doesn't feel like Vegas has given Army a lot of chance here.
The spread on this game is 14.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of my picks. It was going to be one of mine.
Oh, great.
We're going to do a little later in the show.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about Army can trick people, but Notre Dame plays them all the time, so they know this. I think Marcus Freeman knows this offense. Yeah, this should be tough sliding. Again, Notre Dame's going to get to the playoff, and we're going to have no idea because they're untested. We just will not
know how good
they are.
If Army does win this game, do they become a conversation?
We're looking
about
at
what?
It.
About winning it all?
No, about like a spot in the college football playoff.
No, we're going to get Army and Boise. We're going to have two group of five. And maybe there's a third one. Who's the third one?
Tulane.
We get all three. Let's do it. It'd be amazing. Sorry to your Miami Hurricanes if they get lost, if they get pushed out by Army. That would be wild, dude.
That would be very apropos of Miami football for the last 20 years. If we get pushed out by Army.
You know, it's funny, too. Notre Dame has that season-ending game. USC's got a good quarterback now.
Something tells me this is not going to go the way Notre Dame thinks it's going to go.
Wait, are you talking about this game or just the rest of the season?
Rest of the season.
Yeah, it does feel like they have a big edge against Army, but that USC game is just sitting there.
Okay, what's more likely to happen? Something weird happens to Notre Dame or something weird happens to Miami?
Well, Miami doesn't really have any games left.
That's a push right there.
Well, Miami has to win the ACC championship game. Do we think two ACC teams are getting in?
I think it depends on. I think Miami, if they play a very competitive game with SMU, I think there will be a conversation. Because they are the number one offense in college football. And I think there will be some people in the committee that say Cam Ward's one of the best players. They have a number one offense. Like, we should give them a shot.
The committee's not going to judge.
Clemson's still alive in this thing, too.
Well, that's if Miami and SMU don't win out. It's going to take some work for Clemson to get there. But they're not out of it. You're right.
Well, Miami's definitely winning out. There's no way they're going to lose.
Something about that Syracuse game is bothering me.
But the thing is, I think the committee's going to look at conference title game losses and say, we're not going to hold that against you. Because
they say that.
Well, I mean, Miami's on the brink.
I don't believe them yet.
Miami's on the brink. We'll see. I think Miami's a big brand, too. They will screw SMU in a second. They don't care about SMU. But I think Miami would have a great chance.
I just wonder with these conference championship games, I know what they've said. They're not going to hold it against anyone. But when push comes to shove and a team has a 3 next to their name in terms of losses, are they going to just say, well, 3 losses, can't have somebody in the championship, in the bracket with 3 losses?
Well, the SEC team will definitely be in.
I think so, too. But
if you get to the SEC title game, then you're definitely in the 12. Is there any doubt about that?
I would think so, but I think this committee is weird.
I don't think in that particular instance, like, you're not going to have, if, say, Tennessee gets to the SEC title game, they're not going to put Ole Miss in because Tennessee lost.
There's also an important fact with this, too, where we've seen this with the 4-team playoff, that they will do one trend for the entire ranking reveal, and then by the time they get to the last one, they just make up their own rules.
They put in whatever they think the biggest TV rating would be.
Exactly. They should just have, instead of the athletic director from Michigan to come out and answer the questions, just get the president of ESPN to come out there and say, this is how we ranked them. This is how we think about it. Larry's in New York, big Steeler fan. Good morning, Larry.
Oh, great show, Maggie. I'm addicted to the show, man. Great. Tremendous. I love seeing that snow on the screen last night, man, after, you know, all this drought we had up here in the Northeast. But the other call just brought up the Army. Well, the Army, you know, they recruit Army guys. They're not as big as football players. They're Army guys. You don't want guys too big in the Army. But they were tremendous, and it's a great tradition up there. Those guys are in tremendous shape, and that's a royal battle crowd. I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Trumps there, and Dana White and the whole crowd. Boy, they help this, help that, and they're eating McDonald's and everything. I love it. But the thing with the Steelers and the Steel Curtain and you know, in Cleveland, I don't know what the problem is with Cleveland. I mean, come on, this is their second franchise. How can you have two franchises? Go, Buchanan, go. Go, Buchanan, go. Go, Pat, go. Go, Pat, go. Go.
All right, Larry, I got to put you on hold there. There's a lot going on in that call. But thank you to Larry for being obsessed with the show. We're also obsessed with the show.
That was the same guy as last time, right?
That was a new guy. You think he called back a second time? They can tell in the call screener. You can't pull that kind of shenanigans. We're radio, but we're more advanced than that. Appreciate you, Manny.
Well,
Something's going on, obviously.
Yeah, that's why I had to duck out of that one.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick Kostos is going to join us next. Let's make some money, everybody. Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet. He's got all the answers in just moments.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. I'm extra excited for our next guest, Maggie.
Always excited.
No, more excited now.
Oh,
because I am a lifelong Philadelphia Eagles fan. He is a lifelong New York Giants fan. Of course, we're talking about Nick Kostos, will be coming up in a moment. And the headline that Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback, is playing practice squad safety is the funniest headline I've ever seen.
I did see that.
In the 100 years of New York Giants football. We know it's 100 years because they keep, this is a low. And by the way, I thought they didn't want the dude to get hurt. And now he's playing practice squad safety. It's such a bizarre story.
You know, that's funny because, yeah, the reason why Daniel Jones has gone from starter to basically fourth string quarterback, yeah, like he's not going to see the field, is because he's got this injury guarantee with money. So they don't want him to get hurt or else they're going to owe him, you know, millions and millions of dollars as opposed to just getting away from him scot-free after this season. Does that same thing apply if he gets hurt in practice or is it only a game?
I would think it's in practice, too. I don't understand it at all. And also, too, like, you really need him to play safety? Forget all the injury stuff. Isn't that a little embarrassing for your former starting quarterback?
Well, Nick Kostos is with us. He, is, of course, is the host of You Better You Bet. Nick, this is a question directed at you. Perloff is trolling you on this fine Friday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, you know, just the headline that Daniel Jones is practice squad safety in 100 years of Giants football history. Like, this is one of the lows. This is hysterical. What's going on here?
I'm being serious. Like, why do you think that?
Dude, your starting quarterback is playing safety in practice.
He's like, not the starting quarterback. He's the fourth string quarterback.
You have a 2-year, $80 million deal.
It's a terrible contract, but this is what third and fourth string quarterbacks do. They play on the scout team. I don't get the people that are up in arms over this. People were saying yesterday, there are actual legitimate like media outlets and smart people writing headlines and saying things like, disrespect to Daniel Jones. Like, is this, correct me if I'm wrong, is this like when Ben McAdoo benched Eli Manning? Did I miss Daniel Jones winning a Super Bowl?
What, did Eli Manning ever have to play like Will linebacker the next day in practice?
But like, they're trying to win games.
Yes.
This is what the third or fourth string quarterback does. He plays scout team. And by the way, he's getting paid $35.5 million. Yeah. I'll quit this job right now and go play scout team safety for the Giants for $35 million. He should shut his mouth and do his job, and everyone should quit the bitching and moaning about this. It's ridiculous.
Nick, real question. What about Maggie and I were just talking about, what about the injury? Isn't the reason that he's benched because they don't want him to get hurt and then have to pay him? Isn't this a risk?
I've been saying this for 2 months that he shouldn't have been playing. Right,
but why is he playing in practice? Like, they should put him in bubble wrap 24 hours a day.
He's not really playing in practice. Like, he's standing out there in like center fields. Like, he's not going to get hurt.
I don't even do that. I would have him. I'd have him in an office somewhere, because if you get stuck with Daniel Jones, that's the worst case scenario.
Well, to be honest, yes. I mean, the fact that he is a Duke grad means he probably will be in an office somewhere for the rest of his life. The football part of his career may be over.
Oh, no way. No, he'll go to like the Eagles and be Hurts' backup and come in and be awesome when he plays.
Definitely.
That is a guarantee.
That is true. I forgot how painful this has to be for all you Giants fans before it ends.
He's not that bad. He's just not a starter. He's a really good backup, I think.
He'd be 11-6 with the Vikings, no doubt.
All right, enough Daniel Jones talk for now and for the season. Okay, Nick, let's try to win some money here. College slate, big, big games on the docket. Ohio State, Indiana leading the way. You also have a really fun one with LSU and Ole Miss. We got some Colorado on the board as well. Let's start with the Indiana game, though. How are you betting this game?
Yeah, so this is I'm looking at the board right now for the first time this morning. We have some significant line movement this morning on this game, where Ohio State is now only a 10-point home favorite against Indiana. For context, 24 hours ago, this was Ohio State minus 13.5. So this is a significant move on Indiana. Now, part of this may be organic interest in the Hoosiers. Also, we saw Ohio State's All-America center tear his Achilles, like non-contact injury in practice a couple days ago. And that's going to disrupt this Ohio State offensive line. Look, they have future NFL players all along the offensive line, but you never want to lose a player like that. So I think that's really interesting that Indiana's drawn so much interest. At this number, at 10, I'm going to like Ohio State in the game. But I have to say, it does give me a little bit of pause because this is like serious money on Indiana here. So just like caution to everyone that wants to like lay Ohio State like I do, like we can still do it. We can still be right. I like the on-field handicap for Ohio State, but tons of money coming in on the Indiana Hoosiers, Maggie, in the last 24 hours. I don't have a huge opinion on the LSU Ole Miss game. That's currently is that the game LSU Ole Miss?
No, Ole Miss Florida.
Ole Miss, Florida, yeah. We do Colorado-Kansas first. So it looks like Colorado's going to come off three. Colorado's going to be a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Eastern game. I love Colorado. I had Kansas last week. Kansas beat BYU, which was a great result for the Jayhawks and a great result for Colorado. Feels like that was maybe Kansas's Super Bowl. I look at this as being a letdown opportunity here, a letdown spot for Kansas. So I do like Colorado quite a bit against Kansas tomorrow. I will lay Colorado. I think Colorado will win the Big 12. And I know a lot of people don't trust Lane Kiffin in spots like this, laying a ton of points in a big game as Ole Miss tries to get into the college football playoff. Point spread is currently 10.5. Florida coming off the win against LSU. For me, this is an Ole Miss or nothing spot. But of the three, this is the one that I like the least. Colorado is the one I like the most. And just a college football playoff take based on the games coming up tomorrow. This is going to sound like I'm saying this for shtick. It's not. I think it's the truth. I think Indiana, to make the playoff, I think Indiana needs to cover the spread tomorrow against Ohio State. And I say, and what I mean by that is, I think if Indiana gets blown out, even let's say it's 27-10, I'm just making up a score. I think the committee, when it comes time to pick the 12 teams, I think the committee will say, well, couldn't a three-loss SEC team have gone 11-1 with the schedule? And I think Indiana opens itself up to potentially being left out if Indiana gets blown out at the horseshoe. Now, they lose a close game, I think they are way in at 11-1 in the playoff. But I do think they need to keep the game close to make sure that the Hoosiers get in.
Hey, Nick, what do you think of Texas A&M is at Auburn, 7:30 on Saturday night. I feel like all bets are off when it's an SEC game at night, and that spread is only 2.5. Texas A&M is only favored by 2.5. Do you think it's I feel like Texas A&M is going to lose this game and then go turn around and beat Texas. And the last 2 weeks of the SEC, it's going to be all kinds of action like that. Do you look at night games in conference differently?
Well, I would say this. You know, we sometimes in betting space look for like look ahead spots in college. It doesn't really work in the NFL with professionals, but with kids it can work. So A&M hasn't played Texas in a long time, and that rivalry renews next Saturday. I don't know if you guys caught this, but a couple days ago, this kind of went pretty under the radar. Texas A&M coach Mike Elko giving a press conference and literally says, our sole focus is on Texas. I mean, Auburn.
Freudian slip.
Like they're, oh, I think we're way past Freud on this one. Way past Freud. Yeah, I would only bet Auburn in the game also. It is worth noting, because if I'm going to say that, then I should say this. Iron Bowl next week also for Auburn, but obviously the stakes are a lot higher for A&M given Auburn not having like a typical Auburn season. So yeah, if I had to bet the game, I would only bet Auburn.
All right, Nick Kostos, he joins us now. You better, you bet. Okay, we do this every Friday. If we're done with college, should we move on to some NFL? Because this is also, I was telling to Perloff, there are no point spreads here that I like this week. Everything feels like it's going to be painful to watch.
No,
and there are some bigger ones, Nick. So I'm curious what you think about some of the bigger point spreads. So that'd be Detroit laying 7 again on the road against the Colts. You got Miami at home favored by 7.5 against the Patriots. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. It looks like it's between 10.5 and 11 against the Carolina Panthers. The Texans, it's going between 7.5 and 8. They're hosting the Titans. What do you think of some of these bigger spreads? Do you see value there?
So I'll start with the last two. Kansas City, Carolina, to me, it's all just correct. Kansas City, I think, should be favored by more than 10 and less than 13. That's what it is. If I had to bet the game, I would bet the Chiefs. But it is worth noting, Bryce Young in the couple games before the bye week like was not terrible, and it's possible in the bye week with Dave Canales. Jonathan Brooks is expected to play, their rookie second-round running back. Like, it's possible Carolina can keep this game close at home. I wouldn't bet the Panthers, but I'm also not betting the Chiefs. I would bet the Chiefs if I had to bet it. Titans-Texans is another game where this all just looks good to me. For the people that say, like, Vegas knows, no, they don't. This point spread opened Houston -7. That wasn't right. So hopefully people were able to get a piece of that on Sunday night, which Texans might have, which is ridiculous because Houston's almost 8.5 now. Lean for me towards Houston, but I will not be betting that game, the Texans and the Titans. The other two games that you mentioned, Maggie, the first two games, probably my two favorite bets of the week. So I'm happy that you brought it up like that.
Wait, can I make a prediction? I know which way you're going.
Okay.
You're picking the Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to pick them to win.
Mm. I knew it. I'm starting to think like you, Nick. I'm starting to,
And what do you think my Patriots-Dolphins thought is?
Dolphins.
Love the Patriots.
Okay. Flip a coin.
One
50-50.
For two. Colts was a good one. So let's start with Patriots-Dolphins. The point spread 7.5. Like, no way. No way. No way. Like, Miami should be favored. Miami's better than the Patriots. The box score and the final score in the Dolphins-Raiders game last week are extremely deceiving. So Miami beat the Raiders by 15, 34-19 last week. I bet the Dolphins. I was very happy for the result. Actually, looking, though, at how this game played out, this game was way closer to 50-50 than the final score indicates. And again, I won money on the game. I'm happy it turned out like that, but I have to call it like it is. I probably got lucky to win that bet last week on the Miami Dolphins. And Drake May, I think, is just starting to scratch the surface of his upside here. Now, you told me the point spread was like 5. Maybe I'm not interested here. I really like the Patriots. Like, the Raiders moved the ball up and down the field on this Dolphins defense last week. Several drives of like 10 or more plays. Now here's Drake May, like an actual good quarterback. I don't think that the Patriots will win. So I'm not going to bet Patriots money line, but 7.5, I think, is a great bet on the Patriots on Sunday. And yeah, the Colts are, I think, an easy bet. Not that they're definitely going to cover. Like, the Lions have been the best team in the league. They could win by 20. It's possible, right? But I think with Indy, what you have, Perloff, is a quarterback in Anthony Richardson who has sky-high potential and looked like last week against the Jets, and that was the upset pick last week, Colts over Jets, that Richardson was going to start realizing some of that potential. Mm. Like, if he keeps doing that, like, this is a guy, and I know fantasy football is in real life, but this was a guy that really smart people that do fantasy football and betting, like, were drafting as, like, the fifth quarterback off the board in fantasy this year. Like, there are high expectations for him. If that's what he is, that's what he was last week. If that's what he is this week, then this point spread is way too high. And I think the Lions are on upset alert here. So Colts, I bet Colts +8. I think 7.5 is fine also. And I'll have a ticket on Colts money line, Colts to win this game on Sunday against the Lions in Indianapolis.
All right, what do you think? Eagles play the Rams Sunday night. The Eagles are 3-point favorites in L.A. I'm very, very nervous as an Eagles fan, Nick.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I want Devontae Smith to play, so he didn't practice the last couple days with a hamstring injury. This point spread at times, Perloff, has dropped to 2.5. If anyone out there wants to bet the Eagles, I think we can wait, and I think you'll be able to bet -2.5. Don't bet 3. Don't lay 3. See if you can lay 2.5. If you like the Rams, bet +3. I do think the Eagles are a lot better than the Rams. And I think Matthew Stafford's game last week against the Patriots, and this is going to sound like... I don't think the Dolphins offense is playing that well. Like, I don't think like the downfield passing game is there right now for Miami. So I don't like Miami to be able to exploit the Patriots defense like Matthew Stafford did last week. So like, Stafford played well in the game, but Matthew Stafford, this is not like a vintage Matthew Stafford season here. I think the Eagles defense is starting to round into form. Quinyon Mitchell looks like one of the best corners in the league, not just one of the best rookie corners, one of the best corners. And I think there's a path for Saquon Barkley to not just win Offensive Player of the Year, but maybe to be MVP, the first one since Adrian Peterson at running back when it's all said and done. Give me the Eagles, Perloff, but I want to lay 2.5, not the current number of 3.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet. That'd be interesting if Saquon would be able to win it over Derrick Henry. I know Henry didn't have a great game against the Steelers, but that's really interesting to see. Nick, the 49ers, the Packers, obviously this feels like one of those games, if you're betting it, where the injury report kind of feels like everything, right? Purdy was limited, but you had Bosa did not practice. Trent Williams did not practice. A lot of that. Green Bay now favored by 3 is what I'm seeing at home. How would you bet this game?
Yeah, I think it's, I think we have to wait. We're not going to know about Brock Purdy probably until Sunday. I don't based off what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, which was hopefully he feels good on Sunday to play, implies to me that he's not practicing today, that Purdy's not practicing, and they're going to take this up to Sunday. I think if you're out there listening or watching right now, and your thought is, well, I need to go bet Green Bay, like the opportunity's lost. Like the opportunity was yesterday when all this news came out. So the point spread is currently up to 3. This is what we call, this is an in-between number. This is in between Brock Purdy playing and Brandon Allen starting for the Niners. So if on Sunday it's announced that Purdy is starting, this point spread is going to drop right back to where it was. Like, let's call it Green Bay -2. And if it's Brandon Allen, this is going to shoot up way past 3. And then it's just, where does it stop? Does it go to 6 potentially?
Could it be also a Bosa number, though? Because I feel like Bosa's almost... I know you, when an injury with a quarterback happens, you move the spread, but are defensive ends getting to that point where when Bosa's out, you actually have to move the number?
Yeah, I think Bosa... Now, we're at the most key number right now of 3, yeah. So I don't know if Bosa would be enough. Like, Purdy's the most important. Yeah. And I know you like prefaced your question by saying that, right? The Purdy's the most important. Bosa definitely matters a lot. I don't think that Bosa would be enough right now to move this from 3 to 3.5, given what a significant move that is. But yeah, like, if Bosa doesn't play and Trent Williams doesn't play and Purdy doesn't play, like, I'm thinking, like, what's the right number in the game? Like, is it Green Bay -7? Like, should the Packers go up to a touchdown favorite? And the way that I always like to think about things like this is, if you're a bettor, right, you're a sports fan, what number would you need to bet San Francisco on the road in Green Bay with no Bosa, no Trent Williams, and Brandon Allen? Remember, like, this is not Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. Seriously. Like, Garoppolo started a Super Bowl. Brandon Allen's a curtain jerk and jabroni. Like, what number would you need to bet the 49ers?
Yeah, but Kyle Shanahan always makes that quarterback look good, though.
Okay, I've seen Brandon Allen play before. I would be willing to bet that he would not play.
I get him confused with Kyle Allen a lot. I'm not sure I would know the difference.
I don't think it matters. Cardinals, Seahawks, Nick, Arizona slight favorite in Seattle. Total set at 47.5, which I think could be the interesting part of this game. But what do you see?
I like Seattle. I think the teams are pretty evenly matched. The game's in Seattle. The Seahawks have one of the best home field advantages in the league. Arizona has been living a charmed life as of late, leading into its bye week. And I do think the upside for the Cardinals is potentially high this season. But I think Seattle really showed something last week with the win, the last second win over the San Francisco 49ers. And I think one thing to consider is the emergence of Jackson Smith and Jigba, last year's first round pick at wide receiver, who is finally starting to live up to those expectations, along with DK Metcalf and Kenneth Walker. This Seattle offense is humming. And the one thing about the Cardinals defense that I think is going to be its bugaboo coming down the stretch of the season, they don't have a legitimate pass rusher. Like, and that's the one thing they need to add in the pass in the offseason. They need a big time edge rusher. They don't have it right now. Maggie, I do agree with what, and I think you were asking that to say that maybe the over is the interesting bet in this game. I think this is a higher scoring game. I think Seattle ultimately outscores the Cardinals.
Love it, dude. Can you give me an NFL prop? We do picks at the end of the Friday show. And
yeah. You can't use Nick as your personal picks
last week,
concierge.
I had Cooper Rush under 185. That was done by like 2 plays into the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible bet, man.
I'm calling BS on
this.
These are our picks. You can't ask Nick for some personalized, like, he's your own betting guru. You got to make those picks on your own. It's the integrity, Nick.
All right, Nick, call me in the break.
I'll send you it. Do you want me to like?
Give our audience a prop.
I'll give it to the audience.
Give our audience a prop. That's really the question.
All right. So let's go to the Colts and the Lions here. And if I'm right, and Indianapolis is going to keep this game close or potentially pull off the outright upset, Josh Downs is on the injury report. He's not listed right now. So let's go elsewhere here. Let's go to Anthony Richardson rushing yards is 40.5. So again, like, create the game state in your head. Detroit is going to score in the game. Like, that is going to happen. The Lions offense, I guess Goff could throw like 5 picks again, but unlikely. So Detroit's going to score. Indy has to score to keep up. If Anthony Richardson's going to have the type of game needed, not to upset the Jets, but to upset the Lions, he's going to be running. He's awesome at it. Anthony Richardson, 40.5 rushing yards. And then if we're going to look at the anytime touchdown market in a high scoring game, we bet this last weekend it cashed. It was 16-1. Now it's 12. Anthony Richardson to score 2 touchdowns in the game, 12-1, is a bet that I'll place on Sunday as well.
I feel like you get more into anytime touchdowns than anything that you do in your betting world. You get so excited on social media for your anytime touchdown
bets. Well, it's because they're always it's always mispriced.
Yeah, you seem to do very, like you do well happens. There, right?
Can I give an example? It didn't win last night, but just as an example of what I'm talking about. Like any this is going to say it is insulting. I mean it as an insult. Anyone can bet like Justin Jefferson touchdown. It's a roll of the dice and you're getting terrible odds on that bet. So last night, the bet didn't win, but just as an example. So last night, Pat Freiermuth, Steelers starting tight end, was +350 to score a touchdown. Darnell Washington was 10-1, the Steelers' second tight end. Since Russell Wilson took over as Steelers' starting quarterback, Darnell Washington has more targets than Pat Freiermuth. Like, he gets thrown the ball more. One guy is +350, one guy's 10-1. Like, whether the bet wins or loses, it's a bet that we should make every single time, and you live with the outcome. Just as one example, and you get at least one of these in every single game in the NFL every week.
Does your wife have to listen to these takes too? Do you like try this stuff out on her?
No. Perloff, we've been together for like 6 years. Like, yeah. She tuned me out in like 2019, dude.
This is the key to the happy marriage. Just like
completely tuned. I don't even, are you kidding? Like, we sit down at the dinner table and I'm like, let me tell you about Darnell Washington tonight. Joking, man.
I'm trying this out for Maggie and Perloff tomorrow. I don't know if it matters. It doesn't matter. You got to bet it. Nick, I'd ask you for your upset pick of the week, but you gave it to us. I mean, if you're picking Colts over the Lions, I think that's it, unless you want us to hit the music on another one.
Yeah, but I could give you another one here. I'll come up with something. Yeah, let's hit the music.
All right, we got to have two upset specials this week.
Let's go to Monday night. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Ravens on Monday night. Upside for the Chargers, I think, is sky high. Maggie, remember we talked about this last week?
Yep.
Like, if you're like, Maggie's a Bills fan, who's going to beat the Chiefs in the AFC if it's not the Bills and it's not the Ravens? I think it's the Chargers. Let's take the Chargers, and I do like +3 more, but let's take the Chargers on Monday night to beat the Baltimore Ravens. And just one other bet that I really love for Sunday. When the point spread goes down to 3, we're almost there. I think Brian Flores puts Caleb Williams in a blender. I love the Vikings against the Bears on Sunday in Chicago.
That's awesome. Nick Costos. You can listen, you can watch, you better, you bet. He's the place to go if you want to make a little money. Thank you, Nick.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thank you, Nick. You can't use Nick as your personal props guy, by the way. This is not what our picks season-long head-to-head competition is about.
I do have...
You got to do your own work.
I do have one pick that Nick said that I already picked, but...
Me too. But that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Now I feel bad. Like, it's going to look like we're copying Nick.
No, but yeah. I was leaning Seahawks, which is why I asked the question.
So I have Colorado, but I still have it at FanDuel on -2.5 as of right now, and that's the number I'm taking.
All right.
Got to do a little shopping because that's it's fine. A 3 on DraftKings, and Nick had it at probably closing at 3. But we're not copying Nick. Just brilliant minds sometimes think alike.
That could be true. Okay, coming up next, we got a lot more for you, including... Man, so much happening around a team that just finds drama at every turn. How do they keep running into all this stuff? We'll get to that next. Manny is curating a playlist just for Andrew Bogish. We're about to lose Bogish.
Nah, I'm good. I passed this.
Little DMB. Dave Matthews Band.
This is a stand-up. This is a...
All right, beggars can't be choosers, all right, man?
No one was asking for it.
Oh, okay, you know what? Next time...
Listen, Manny tries to do something nice.
This is the last thing I'll ever try to do for
I didn't realize
Bogus.
Manny was working today.
Manny,
I don't have my intern today.
Training Alex in the back yesterday. Air quotes.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's why he needed to be here for 7 consecutive days.
We know. Alex also works over at WFAN like consistently. So, yeah, we think he knows what he's doing on the board. But, you know, listen, that's the process around here. We want to make sure everyone knows... Inside out, upside down, how this show works.
Because Thursday shows are different than Wednesday shows, too, so you need to come back the next day. It's a Bilotti scam. Still lives. That's good to know.
You said it, not me. Bogus says headlines. If you missed our spot with Nick Costos, he joins us every Friday. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast if you want to win some money or use the rewind function on the free Odyssey app.
I'm a great time.
These headlines are sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to LinkedIn.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions do apply.
I hate Manny.
It looked beautiful on TV. These Steelers and Browns playing a snow globe on Thursday Night Football. It ended beautifully for those Browns, 24-19 winners, courtesy of a last-minute comeback. But Steelers wideout George Pickens giving Cleveland no credit.
I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Ooh, the conditions saved them. Pickens also complained about the officials and got into a scuffle with Steelers corner Greg Newsome after the final play. Newsom then called Pickens a fake tough guy in the post-game locker room.
It seemed like they went into the stands.
Yeah, what
was
the... But
Amazon kind of missed it.
They come back to it and trying to figure it out, but they never got the bottom line. But that's not nice, Manny.
Well, all right. Well, I get my 2 cents in.
When your internet doesn't work later and you don't get your packages, it's because Big Brother was listening. Back to you, Bogus.
Back to the game. The Browns took a 18-16 lead early in the fourth quarter. Then gave up two touchdowns while committing 2 turnovers. But then got Nick Chubb in the end zone with 57 seconds left for the 24-19 win. Jameis Winston, take it away.
That fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting, like, my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up getting that win. The horse is prepared for battle.
I mean, he's got a feel for the moment. Last hour or 2 hours ago, I think I said that I think it's genuine.
But victory comes from the Lord.
You think it's genuine? Like, well, of course he's performing. I mean,
well, that feels.
But it's like so obvious that he's performing that it's almost genuine. Does that make sense? Like, he's not trying to pretend.
It.
Yeah, yeah. He knows it's shtick, and he knows it. It's not like. I think it's okay.
If he had less of a sordid background and better QB skills, he would be a national treasure.
Without a doubt. I think a lot of people still love Famous Jameis, even though I think technically he's banned from Uber. But to be fair, I think people do like him.
The Steelers had won 5 in a row before last night. They now have a 1-game lead on the Ravens in the loss column atop the AFC North. Good times last night for all of the...
When bust Jama?
Because the Spurs won again without their best player, 126-118 over the Jazz. Harrison Barnes scoring 25 with 10 rebounds. Wemby was missing his 3rd in a row with a bruised knee.
Are we sure he's their best player?
Yes. Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr., the unanimous AL MVP runner-up. Witt received all 30 second-place votes, while Aaron Judge got all 30 first-place ones. Shohei Ohtani, the unanimous winner in the NL, with Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor coming in second. And in non-Alex Ovechkin hockey news, the Bruins beat Utah last night 1-0 in their first game after firing head coach Jim Montgomery. Guys, back to you.
And in Ovechkin news, you told us earlier that he's got a broken fibula, and so he's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks?
4 to 6.
4 to 6 weeks. Hockey time, he'll be back in 2 weeks. No. And so the chase down of Gretzky's goals record is going to be put on hold for just a minute.
Yeah, total probably bummer. Till 2025. And then he'll have 3 full months to score 27 goals.
That's hard, right?
Yes and no.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's impossible.
So he's 39. I mean, Jaromir Jagr is like 57 and still playing. So he can do this. He's going to be fine. He'll have to do it next year. That's my prediction right now, making the call.
And that was the assumption going into this year. Then he was ridiculously good for the first, 2 months, 6 weeks of the season. So if he goes right back to that scoring pace, he'll get it this year again, even minus a month.
Unreal. Dude's almost 40. It's just incredible. Bogus, thank you so much. Okay, lots more to do. We mentioned we've got some drama going on. With who else? Michael Parsons. Not you, Bogus. We also have NFL and college picks to make. We also have college football games to preview. We've got a lot to do, guys. Who's coming with me? Maggie and Perloff.